We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Oricon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on the upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy Wednesday. Lots of stuff on the big show on the upswing this morning. Beer and business. That's going to be our first topic. Oh, yes. Beer is big business in Wisconsin and across the country. You know, did you know that beer is taxed at approximately 6.5 cents per gallon? One of the lowest in the country here in the state. Of course, beer exists in a pretty complex tax and regulatory landscape. And lately, it's been a tough go for some of the craft brewers and independent breweries. Wisconsin, though, ranks fifth among U.S. states in per capita beer consumption, with an average of almost 37 gallons per adult per year consumed. But trends and habits, they're changing a lot. And dry January, it is dry January. So we're going to check in on the trends and the big changes, especially at Explorium Hospitality Group. Mike Doble is going to join us. They just announced on New Year's Eve that it was purchasing the assets of Good City Brewing. So we'll see what the opportunities with that acquisition are for Explorium. We'll drink to that, see what the future will bring. Then Rich Kirchen will join in the second half of the show. Business headlines. We'll talk Harley-Davidson, a Pepsi distributor, is eyeing a move in Wisconsin, a new data center, and much, much more. But first, as we do each and every morning, we're going to go two up.
Now is time for the
two, count 'em, two.
Two.
Two up on the upswing.
We've got to start here. Girl Scout cookie season is indeed upon us. I love the business lessons and all the pitches that you get from Girl Scouts. When this season starts, you get the calls, you get the videos, you get the knocks at the door. It is so many lessons learned when you're selling Girl Scout cookies. And whenever you're presented with the opportunity to buy Girl Scout cookies, you have to. It's just that's what you have to do. But yesterday, Girl Scouts of the USA kicked off the selling season. They also announced that it's retiring after this season, a couple of its cookie flavors, the Girl Scout S'mores and the Toast Yas. You know, I don't know. You know, these aren't two of my favorites, but they still have 12 varieties if you include the two that are sunsetting. I don't know. I'm still going. I'm going all in thin mints, but I kind of like the lemonades too. That's a really refreshing. Has that shortbread and a little bit of that tangy lemon icing. Jas, what's your favorite Girl Scout cookie?
You might call me basic for this, but I really like the shortbread or trefoils. I don't know what they change the names a lot. I think it's because of the distributor, right?
Yeah, I think there's a distribution thing that makes it a little differently. But essentially, that shortbread Girl Scout cookie, I'm a big fan, too.
Also, the caramel delight's great when you refrigerate them.
Oh, yes, and microwave.
Or freeze them.
Or, on the other end, microwave it just a little bit. Very, very tasty. All right, Girl Scout cookies, sunsetting a couple flavors, but still a lot of opportunity there to buy. Tom Holland goes to Target. Not only did actor Tom Holland put a ring on Zendaya's finger, he has a new NA beer that was launched at the end of last year, and now it's available in Target stores. Barrow is the latest entrant in a now increasingly almost a crowded category of non-alcoholic beer. And by one estimate, this category has grown into a $37 billion industry. Tom Holland's new beer has three flavors: Kingston Golden Pils, an Edge Hill Hazy IPA, and a Noon Wheat. You can get it at Target now in six packs for $11.99. The 12 packs are $21.99. Cheers to more beer options, more lower and no alcohol options. We're going to talk about that on the local level with Explorium Hospitality Group when we come back. But it's good to see people are embracing dry January and more. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Thanks for being here. Explorium Brew Pub is expanding its operations and its footprint with a recent acquisition. It has plans to double its beer production in 2025. Co-owner, founder, all things beer man, Mike Doble joins us in studio. Mike,
I'm here.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Jeff. Good to see you.
I appreciate your time. So, Explorium Hospitality Group now acquired Good City Brewing.
Yes.
Just kind of go back and tell us how a deal like that comes together. Were you looking for an acquisition? And, you know, going from two locations to now, what, six?
Six.
That's going to be a big leap for you.
Yeah, it's a very big leap. Big leap of faith as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what makes it worth it is we have, you know, the full support of Dan and David, who founded Good City, you know, coming up on 9 years ago now.
Yeah.
And we've been friends since. And Dan called me back in November and started talking to me about, you know, how can we collaborate and work together? And it turned into talks of an acquisition. And you know what? What gives me confidence to do it is there is an amazing group of people that are Good City Brewing that are welcoming us with open arms, and just an amazing staff that gives us a lot of confidence to move forward. They are really they're super flexible. They're very professional.
Mm-hmm.
They've treated my other co-owner, my wife Joan, and I very nicely. And we're kind of integrating staff and systems and all that. You can imagine that's pretty stressful, but the people have been amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, any business deal, no matter what the size and scale is, has to start with a good relationship and good people and a good solid foundation. And you have two really good solid foundations coming together. So that should make that kind of that 1 + 1 = 3.
Yeah, without a doubt. And you know, what also helps is that, you know, Dan and I, as we sit down, I'm talking about Dan, the founder of Good City, and David, when Dan and I sit down, we speak the same language. You know, we speak hospitality, we speak beer. We both have been around Milwaukee a long, long time, and we understand real estate, and we understand, you know, how do you develop the things? Because those are the nuts and bolts of what make these locations work is, you know, location and setup and ambiance and hospitality. So I know we should talk about some of those things, but, you know, when I look at what Dan has done, I mean, it's fantastic. I don't have a full-time job. I work in beer. Dan has a full-time job, and he really I really admire him for reaching out and looking for help, because he has an amazing staff and he wanted to support them. And that's kind of how this all started.
Yeah. We're talking with Mike Doble from Explorium Hospitality Group. I keep wanting to say Explorium Brew Pub. It's
and that's
still
fine.
That too. But I want to talk about the big picture.
It's bigger. Yeah. It's
so what are your plans for the Good City brand itself? Does it eventually sunset, or...
Yeah, eventually we will sunset the Good City brand on the side of buildings and whatnot.
Okay.
It looks more and more that some of the favorite beers that are in the market will live on.
Okay.
And we will produce them under license. So the same guy, Dane, that is the head brewer at the Farwell Brewery on the east side, he's going to continue making those beers. So we're talking to Beechwood as the distributor.
Okay.
And we've been talking to Beechwood about, you know, hey, what's their appetite for us to continue? And they really want to see those beers continue. And so is obviously, you know, Dan and David. It's their brand.
Right.
And they've put a lot of love and care into it.
Yeah.
And you know what? We have a lot of respect for the brand, and we're happy to do it. So it looks more and more that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But as far as the operating locations go, we did not buy the brand.
Okay.
There is a sunset sometime in the future that will hit. And, you know, the reality is craft beers change quite a bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, even at the Explorium Brew Pub, which is soon to have its third location in Wauwatosa, so that that Good City Wauwatosa and Mayfair collection is going to get rebranded.
Right. Okay.
So there'll be three Explorium Brew Pubs. But even there, and even at Explorium at Southridge and in the Third Ward, we've had to continually pivot and respond to the desires of the customer base.
Yeah.
You know, the solid beer drinkers are still there,
right?
And they're not going away.
Yeah.
We do have this massive support of a really loyal fan base, and we'll continue to serve them, but we have to pivot and do other things like NAs and cocktail program, and bourbon's been big the last three, four years.
Yeah.
So we continue to evolve to address those needs of the customers.
Yeah, we're talking with Mike Doble from Explorium Hospitality Group. Mike, when we come back, there's been a lot of change in kind of the eatertainment business, right? People going out and they want that full experience.
Absolutely.
I'm really interested to see how you want to tackle the new locations that you've acquired, specifically what you're going to do at that kind of really unique, big, large venue in Deer District.
I'm excited about it.
Indeed. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, the business of beer. Mike Doble from Explorium Hospitality Group joins us in studio this morning. So, Mike, your company will be taking over. If you've been to a Bucks game or Marquette game, you've been to Fiserv, you've been to Deer District, that big, good city brewing structure.
Yes.
An entertainment venue, an event venue, a really large, unique space.
It is.
So you have the fun opportunity of moving in there, maybe reimagining it. How do you plan to tackle that location?
Well, first of all, we're not going to do a whole lot until the Bucks season's over.
Okay.
That space is intensely busy during the Bucks season, and as is the whole Deer District, and it's really great. They've done a really nice job of getting people there and having that be the landing point before going to games.
Yeah.
So it's really nice. It actually works out really well. The space is large. There's an amazing event space in there, which is really pretty cool.
Yeah, on that second floor. Yeah,
yeah, and we're very good at selling events. We do have a smaller space in the Good City space right now.
Okay.
So I think what you're going to see is you're going to see that space reimagined and be a little less focused on such a broad range menu. Right now, the broad range brew pub menu is in there. I think you're going to see it par down. They have a very successful Mexican kitchen concept that they're working over there.
Hmm.
And that has a lot of legs.
Okay.
And so one of our goals is to make that space busy all year.
Okay.
And, you know, it can't just be a Bucks season thing.
I mean,
the Deer District can't survive that way. So we're talking to the Bucks about how do we activate that space more. And the Bucks are investing a tremendous amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Music venue next door.
Yeah.
There's an MATC facility coming.
Additional housing and residential on the way as well.
Exactly. So what we have to do is find a way to make that space attractive all the time. And so we think some sort of compelling concept in there that kind of ties in with our brand and craft beer and craft cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
But the Mexican kitchen theme is really speaking to us. So
nice. All right. That's good. I'll put it on my lunch plans for sure.
Oh, it's going to be amazing.
All right. So how do you continue to grow and differentiate? I mean, there's been a lot of loss in your industry in the past several months, especially locally here, but you know, trends are changing,
mm-hmm.
habits are changing, and, you know, even alcohol warnings could be changing soon as well.
Yes, absolutely. So one of the things that makes Explorium different is that we have always been a hospitality brand. We've always focused on hospitality first, craft beer second.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we like to think that our craft beer is second to none, but that's
right.
for each individual taste
totally
to judge,
right.
and
right.
we respect everybody's opinion. But we've always been hospitality first, and part of that is having a broad range of offerings all the way across the board, from food to cocktails to liquor selection to beer selection. If you look at our beer taps, they're carefully curated so that we don't have eight hoppy beers on tap and then maybe four lagers and an afterthought, you know, of another style.
Yeah.
They're well curated across the broad spectrum mm-hmm. of styles, and we always try to do something new, something different, something historic.
Yeah.
So that's been a differentiator in our beer. Another big part of it is we have a lot of customers with dietary restrictions, and we're very big on having options for dietary restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
We make all of our beers gluten removed,
okay.
Which doesn't alter the flavor.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't change the way we make beer. We make beer just like every other craft brewery, and it tastes great. But, you know, that enzyme that breaks down the gluten in the beer is a differentiator, and it drives a lot of business, honestly.
What about NA? You're not brewing an NA beer right now, but you have lands too, and obviously you have other kind of adjacent non-alcoholic products.
Yeah, we So we just partnered with a brand called Lotsa, which is a startup, and they're making a really great non-alcoholic cocktail. So we're partnering with them. The NA beers are super popular. We are selling a lot of them.
Okay.
And you know what? It just makes sense for us to make our own.
Yeah, yeah.
Eventually, that's our hope to get in that space.
And is that process getting less expensive than it was a couple of years ago? I heard that from a lot of local craft brewers. Like 5 years ago, I was like, guys, it's just too expensive to do.
It is a very expensive piece of equipment that's needed to do it, but it's becoming the non-alcoholic beer scene is becoming very mainstream, as you see with all the big national brands.
Yeah.
It's also becoming more mainstream in craft, which scales the equipment down, creates volume, therefore creates cheaper equipment. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you can probably expect in the next 12 to 15 months that we'll be trying to put out some NA beers as well.
Very good. And what do you see then for the additional Good City locations in terms of food? Or is that something you're still looking at in terms of how you want to activate those spots?
Very quickly, we talked about Wauwatosa being rebranded as an Explorium Brew Pub and taking all those elements. We talked about maybe a Mexican kitchen concept in the Deer District.
Yeah.
The East Side location is it's an amazing build, an amazing space, and we kind of view it as a little more upscale.
Yeah.
So you might see the menu swapped out for something a little more upscale, a little quieter dining versus brewery tap room.
Very good, Mike Doble from Explorium Hospitality Group. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by senior reporter of the Milwaukee Business Journal, Rich Kirchen, and Mike Doble from Explorium Hospitality Group. I asked Mike to stay for a couple more minutes because I wanted to hit on this whole... There's definitely the perception that the craft beer space is saturated. There's too many in the market. How many actually are there when you look from Milwaukee to Racine? How many are there? And then what are your opportunities there?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it always hurts our heart when our friends go out of business, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, these other craft brewers, you know, they put their heart and soul into their brewery just like I do. But, you know, to keep things in perspective, between, you know, Kenosha to Mequon to Oconomowoc, we have 44 craft breweries in southeast Wisconsin. There's still a lot of breweries to satisfy your thirst. And what people have to remember that it is, and I think that fresh and local and natural is something that speaks to everybody's heart.
Mm-hmm.
We like to go to farmers markets. We like to know who our farmer is, and we like to buy fresh and local. And that's what craft beer is all about. And people need to remember that. You know, there's a lot of fuzzy lines being created by, you know, big national brands. And, you know, your local craft brewer is doing it fresh. He's doing it naturally. And they're doing a really great job, and there's still a lot of opportunity. There are some challenges. I mean, there's headwinds in the industry right now. We are losing a little bit of market share. You know, NAs, we talked a little bit about that's cutting in a little bit. But I think the real challenge for craft breweries is not to become too oversaturated in the market. Find your neighborhood, speak to your neighborhood, and make sure you're providing something your neighborhood wants. And you know what? If people want craft breweries and they want cool local places and they want fresh natural beer in their grocery store, then support your small local craft brewery. Simple as that.
Community and commerce. That's what we do on The Upswing. That's what it's all about. Mike, I appreciate your time this morning. Enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll see you again soon.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Rich, let's pivot a little bit from beer to soda. I'm not drinking a ton of soda these days.
Okay.
Are you a Coke or a Pepsi guy?
Coke.
Coke? See, I don't drink a ton of soda, but I usually go to Pepsi. I think it's a little sweeter. I've always enjoyed Pepsi.
To drink Coke, man. And Coke Zero.
Oh, Coke Zero. Coke. Okay. All right. Very good.
The whole thing.
All right. So what are the details involving a move by the Pepsi-Cola manufacturer and distributor Wispac in the area? I know you've had some good reporting on this story.
Right. Wispac has their offices in Watertown, and they are proposing and planning to relocate their headquarters to Pabst Farms in city of Oconomowoc. About a 24,000-square-foot structure. They're going to have a sign that you can actually see from I-94 as you go past Oconomowoc with the Pepsi logo on it.
Branding.
Yeah.
All right. And so this proposal, it's headed to
the review for the Architectural Commission? Is that
right.
the next phase?
In fact, today they're going to talk about the design.
Okay.
But I did talk to the city planner, and he said he anticipates this will go to the Plan Commission, and there are no issues with the zoning or anything. So they're planning to start construction this spring and move in within a year of the groundbreaking.
Okay. All right. Let's. I wanted to talk about your story on Komatsu Mining and its $285 million Milwaukee campus. What's their next steps in terms of the tax credits for the job growth there?
Yeah. It's just one of these things where I was wondering what all was going on there. There hasn't been a lot of news since they had their grand opening a couple, 3 years ago. And they were eligible for about $60 million in tax credits from the state through the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation and upwards of $25 million from the city of Milwaukee through a TIF district. The company's so far is exceeding their hiring goals, you know, their investment, capital investment, at that property. The most recent report that they filed last year with the state, they're at 1,034 employees. That means they've added 337 jobs, since they first signed their contract with the state. So, seems to be a very positive report. And I talked with Lafayette Crump, also the Department of City Development Commissioner with the City TIF District. And he's thrilled with how things are going and cites that as an example of public participation and subsidies making a difference.
Very good. Yeah, I did a short search on Komatsu's site this morning. There's 46 positions posted in the Milwaukee location, and then if you expand it to all their locations, it's almost 270 locations. Everything from, you know, value steam senior manager to human resources to technical training, and, you know, even a production planning intern. So if you're looking to get into the job market, Komatsu has a bunch of positions posted. We're talking with Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio by Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. So, Rich, before this, we were talking with Explorium Hospitality Group that will soon take over the Good City Brewing space in Deer District. And I think one of the biggest components to continuing the expansion at Deer District is just driving more people there. And residential growth is going to be key to its long-term success. What do you know about a new housing partner in Deer District that the Bucks are working on?
Yeah, we had a story yesterday by Teddy Nichol, our real estate reporter, that the Bucks have issued a request for proposals for housing, possibly high-rise, possibly as tall as 20 stories, but it could be as short as four stories, depending on the proposals they get. And they're talking about 900 some units of housing. So it'd be pretty serious. It'd be on State Street. So it'd be on the south side of the Deer District.
Okay.
Where there's also a hotel proposal right on the corner of Vell Phillips and State Street. So, this would be sort of where a lot of the Deer District activity has up to this point was initially to the east of the arena of Fiserv Forum and then to the north. Now we're looking to the south. The FPC Live project is well underway.
Yep.
And this would be a pretty significant, you know, I'm just looking at the rendering. If it's a 20-story building, it'll be a landmark for that district.
Yeah, and then, you know, with something that size and scale, you look at additional retail or restaurant opportunities on the ground floor, because all those type of developments are mixed use.
Yes, yeah, and that's in the Bucks' request for proposals, and it looks like they would prefer to pick their development partner sometime this month.
Okay. All right. Very good. Let's see. I wanted to get your thoughts, and maybe we'll do this right after we come back from the break. Wanted to get your thoughts on Harley Davidson in 2025. You did a ton of great reporting last year on Harley's challenges and their opportunities, but I wanted to kind of put a bow on that and see how they're going to pull out of their skid in 2025. We're talking with senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, Rich Kirchen. This is The Upswing. We're presented by Horicon Bank. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We're joined by Rich Kirchen from the Milwaukee Business Journal. Rich, always appreciate your time and our fun and fast and furious review of all things business. So you've been doing a ton of reporting on Harley-Davidson last year and, you know, kicking it off in the new year as well. What do you foresee for Harley-Davidson in 2025? Do they kind of pull out of a little bit of the skid that they're in, and what do new products look like, and just what does the year look like for Harley?
Well, they are starting to trickle out new product introductions sort of in the motorcycle press. They're going to have their big unveil. I think it's on January 27th, and I will definitely cover that,
yeah.
See what's new in terms of models. But in terms of the overall business, I'd say could still be rough sledding into the new year. I did have a story a couple days ago that their plants, including the one in Menominee Falls, have been running partial or rolling layoffs since late July, anywhere from a half a week to 3 weeks, depending on the employee, depending on the job.
Mm-hmm.
They did go back to full operations as of the start of the new year. But the question is, how long is that going to last? Because their dealerships, Robert W. Baird here in Milwaukee, their stock analysts follow Harley very closely. They do surveys a few times a year, and the latest survey of dealerships, Harley dealerships, mm-hmm. The dealers are still saying their inventory is way too high. They don't really need more bikes.
Yeah.
So we'll see how much the sell-off goes of those bikes that are already in stock, and then really whether the consumer has the appetite and the funds,
right,
to buy a new bike.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Is market demand there, especially on the electric side for the electric bikes and the Livewire? Like, great product, wonderful vehicle. I have friends that have them and really enjoy them and have, you know, had great success using them every day. But is there a big enough market there for them?
Yeah, so Livewire is their electric motorcycle line that they spun off about 2.5 years ago into a separate company. They're not selling many of them. I mean, they're talking about selling several, I think between 600 and 1,000 for 2024, way, mm-hmm. way short of the earlier predictions. Harley-Davidson, even though Livewire technically is a separate corporation, Harley still owns 90% of the stock. And Livewire just announced that they're outsourcing almost everything to Harley-Davidson, which already was manufacturing the bikes.
Yeah.
So now they're handling accounting, engineering, everything. So, yeah, it's Livewire is going to be one of the big questions going into the new year, because mm-hmm. Harley ends up, because they own so much of Livewire, it counts against the big losses, $100 million or more a year, count against Harley's earnings.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about a massive data center project complex coming to the town of Port Washington, kind of land that would be annexed by the city of Port Washington. Plans were presented at the Common Council last night. What do you know about this? I mean, it's a huge project with a company from Houston, I believe.
Right. Yeah, I think they're talking about 1,000 acres, which is a lot.
Yeah.
And they did discuss it at the Port Washington Common Council. It seems like this thing is on the move, because the Milwaukee 7 Regional Economic Development Group weighed in on this. They're involved. They and the city see this, Port Washington, see this as economic development, new tax base, new jobs, although data centers don't have nearly as many jobs as most buildings of their
right.
size. The developer is called Cloverleaf Infrastructure. They sort of have co-headquarters in Houston and Seattle. They are backed by private equity investors. They raised about $300 million last summer. And interestingly enough, when they announced that they had raised this money, they said they're looking for large-scale development of data centers in states such as Ohio, Indiana, and Wisconsin. So they've definitely been targeting this area.
Yeah, and the land, it stretches from the city of Port's north border, north to Dixie Road, and just west of I-43 there, and east of the Ozaukee Inner Urban Trail. So as you said, it's a huge plot of land.
Right, and there had been, you know, it looked like someone was putting together probably a lot of the same properties last year, whether it was for this project or another one, and then that was sort of quiet for a while. But this thing does seem like it's well underway. I mean, there still needs to be agreements reached between the town of Port Washington and the city of Port Washington. But as I understand Wisconsin law, incorporated areas such as cities and villages sort of take precedent over townships when it comes to annexation.
Yeah, something to keep an eye on in 2025 for sure. And the amount of energy needed will be pretty large, and I'm guessing We Energy would have to build.
Which is why Gail Clapp,
new on the site, yes.
From We Energy's said they support this project.
Yes, indeed.
These are your business headlines from the Milwaukee Business Journal.
Explorium Brewpub plans to expand its annual production from 1,500 barrels of beer per year to 3,500 in 2025. The decision comes after the brewery purchased Good City Brewing last week. Metal fabricator CR Industries says it will gain 25 employees after a merger with Modular Power and Data. The company hopes the merger will increase its connection to the data center and electric vehicle industries. Automotive battery manufacturer Clarios withdrew a prospectus for a possible initial public offering. An IPO would have enabled the company's private equity owners to exit part of their holdings. I'm Drew Dawson from MilwaukeeBusinessJournal.com on 620 WTMJ.